Good morning, everyone. Glad you're here this morning. Would you please stand? This morning, we're going to start with Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? Let's sing.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me?
'Cause I know that's where you'll be. I count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our identity. We thank you, God, that we are your child, your children, Lord. We thank you that you are our Father. God, may we remember, no matter what our life looks like, may we remember, Lord, that you're not against us. Lord, you love us and you died for us. And so as we're walking through things, Lord, that just may not feel that great, that may make us question, Lord, your love, your plans, Lord, help us to remember that you are for us. You're rooting for us, Lord. You love us, and love drives all that you do. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Oh, I hope you heard the truth in those songs this morning. First, that you are a child of God and that he will always be there with you in the fire. When you wake up late and kids are scattered and your hair is frazzled and you're looking in the mirror and you're just like, oh no, if the dog poops on the floor, and then you hear the dog pooping on the floor, you're like, yep, this is it. Like, it's okay. It'll be okay. God has designed some crazy things for us in life to grow us into who he wants us to be. But he is there, and that truth does not change. It does not fluctuate. So hear those words this morning. Last week, we took a look at the first teach from the Green Lake series that we did over the summer with our high schoolers and our junior highers on that trip. And I spoke on the power of the why. Like, what's your why? And ultimately, when we looked at the golden circle that has the what on the outer ring, the how in the middle, and the why in the middle ring, and then the why in the center, we discovered that God has created our why. We don't choose it. We don't have to worry about finding it. We just have to learn to dive into it and be content with taking whatever path that may lead. If we looked at Jesus's golden circle, he would actually have another smaller circle in the middle. His why is us. Jesus knew his why. When he came to earth to die for our sins, that was his why, and he fulfilled it. We read in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and then leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Do you hear that? Jesus is literally saying, this is my why. You are my why. He's telling his disciples, all of you, you are my why. Every person that has come before me, every person that is coming after me, each and every one of you is my why. That's amazing. That is so incredibly powerful to think about, that Jesus, his whole life's mission was to come and die for us. And now, once we can accept that truth, once we can get past our own desire to have, you know, everything figured out, to have everything in perfect order and take life our own way, when we can release grip of that, and we really dive into our why, and that why is living the life that Jesus has called us, we can become content. We can become the people that he wants us to be. So I hope that over the past week, you were able to kind of assess that for yourself. Right now, you're going to be able to have another minute to spend time in prayer, talking to God. Maybe you just need to thank him for the sacrifice of sending Jesus, for giving Jesus his why, and that why being us. Maybe you want to spend that time being thankful. Maybe you didn't really have time to recenter your why, to ask yourself those tough questions. Maybe that's how you spend this minute. But however you choose to spend this minute, once that time is done, our worship team will begin playing another song, and you can move to communion. We have four different stations here around the room that you can go to. There are two in the back, two up here on the tables in the front, and then if you need gluten-free communion, you can come grab that on the corners of the stage.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this truth. We thank you, Lord, that we can sing this with not only our lips, Lord, but with our hearts. We believe in you, Lord. We believe that you are our risen Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our servers are going to come and receive the morning offering as they do. I'm going to walk you through some of our announcements. On your way in, if you grabbed your folder, quick reminder that our daily announcements are always, they can always be found right in that middle section of the sheet. So just a couple quick things from that. We have a pretty cool event coming up for families on September 14th. That afternoon and evening, we're going to be having like an informal family fun day. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can come hang out around a bonfire. If you want to stay late, you can. If you need to go, it's a come and go as you please kind of event. So if you want more information on that, make sure to grab the folder here, because it's got Jaren Wojewoda's phone number and email on it, so you can totally spam her about that event. Journey groups are opening next week. Next Sunday, we will have registration opening because our fall groups begin there starting in September. So we are coming down to the wire with it. One thing that I want to make you aware of before we start registration, if you go to our website and scroll all the way down, you'll find a spot on our website that says our app. We didn't create like a Southfield app, although that would be pretty cool. We have the Church Center app. And what you can do through that, you can actually sign up for journey groups. You can register students for trips. Everything that you can do on the desktop website, you can do through the app. That's a really cool way to make sure that you have all the information that you need about each of these journey groups. So as registration is opening next Sunday, make sure that sometime throughout the week, you go and download that app. If you're not an app person, I get it. Just use the desktop. But if you're looking for a more convenient way to share a journey group experience with a friend, opening up that app and showing them, hey, I want to do this with you, and letting them read it right there, it's a really powerful way to get people involved with you in those groups. Is my mom in this service? Okay, good. Because students, we are, there's nothing like extra special going on outside of changing times or anything like that. But tonight from 6 to 8 at Revive, and Wednesday 6:30 to 8:30, the high schoolers and then the junior hires respectively will be getting to meet Griffey, my little puppy. And so he will be in the building, and I, you're going to have to spread this word like in between services because I can't say it in second. Otherwise, she'll freak out worrying that the dog's going to poop everywhere. So so make sure you come out, hang out with us and little Griffy tonight. Speaking of students, we have one of my former student leaders, John Beaker, speaking with us this morning. John has served in just about every single role that Southfield has. I mean, he's up here playing the bass before he comes to speak. He's done the first connections. He's been literally, he's been an overseer. He's the lifeblood of Southfield. So he's got a really good message for us following up what I had last week. So if you would, please welcome John to the stage this morning.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Always a pleasure to be able to address you. I always enjoy it. Word for the people in the front row. You've heard the lion's share of what we're going to talk about today, and I really want to challenge you guys as you hear it a second time to think about, it's been a couple months now, right? And we talked about when we were at Green Lake, the importance of knowing your why, having God at the center of your why. How's that going? Right? This is a great morning to kind of think through the pieces again and go, okay, it's been a little bit of time. Where am I with this? How has it gone? For the rest of you, well, you're just going to have to be along for the ride and enjoy the morning. I'm going to start in a little bit of an unorthodox way. What we're going to do this morning is I'm actually going to show you something. It's terrifying. I'm just fair warning, you may want to pull your loved ones close. You may have to avert your eyes. That is possible. I'm just giving you fair warning because I, you know, want to make sure that you're prepared for what's about to come your way. Are you ready? Hey, here it is. Here it is. Yes, I know. It is horrifying. It is just beyond terror. It is a blank sheet of paper. Oh, the insidiousness of the blank sheet. When I was a student, I remember having to fill the blank sheet with equations I did not know, with essays that I was unprepared to write, using words I was unfamiliar with. Oh, the insidiousness. How dare I, on a Sunday morning, show something so horrible? Matter of fact, the last couple of years of my education, I had to fill like 50 sheets with an essay that just, it took me forever to write. It was the bane of my existence, and it still sends a chill down my spine to this very day. However, as it turns out, the blank sheet of paper can actually be a good thing. Now, I know that sounds crazy to say, but it's true. It's true. We're going to leave this guy right up here, and we're going to come back to him towards the end, but you know, if you have to look away, that's okay. I do understand. There it is. Last week, Brian challenged us to consider some important questions. At the core was simply this. What is your why? Why do you do what you do? And why do you do what you do in the way that you do it? What drives you? What's your motivation? What's at your core? And Brian challenged us at Green Lake to really think about that, to really think about that question. And I found myself walking the grounds shortly after he got done talking about that. And one of the girls approached me with a simple question. She said, "Mr. Beaker, what's your why? What's your why?" Well, fortunately, I was speaking the next night. And so I was eminently prepared to give her a succinct, well-thought-out, well-crafted answer is what I would like to be able to tell you this morning. But alas, I didn't. It took me aback. It took me completely off guard. I mean, I had literally just heard Brian talk about what our why was, and I stammered around and stumbled around, and my words could not have been less clear. So let me take another shot at it this morning. Let me give it another crack. What is my why? I bear the image of the living God, and my goal is to spread his glory as best I can. That's my why. You see, the whole idea behind the why is not that we have to kind of come up with and conjure up the reason why we exist. No, that's not the idea at all. The why is given to us by God. He gave us his image. He is the one who put us here to reflect himself. That's what we are. We're reflectors. We reflect his glory. We're supposed to be like him. That's the idea. That is the big goal. That is his aim. We don't get to pick our why. And I think that was the misconception that those who weren't listening maybe had. Every person is designed to be like, to be made in God's image, and they're designed uniquely so that the whole earth is filled with the undeniable and majestic presence of God. That is the why of all humanity, bar none. That is the purpose. The sad reality is that fallen humanity has chosen its own why over the why that God gave it and replaced it with a myriad of other things, none of which measure up to the original why, none of them. Fortunately, redeemed humanity, talking about those who are in Christ, those who are Christ followers, those who claim Jesus as their forgiver and leader, have had their why fixed. We can and we must live out our why, not only for the benefit of others around us, which is important, but for our own sake as well. It is our purpose, and there is tremendous joy and peace and satisfaction that comes in fulfilling our purpose. When we were up at Green Lake, we had a key verse, as we often do. Our key verse for the week was Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. It says this: "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." As I read through that verse, there were a few things that caught my eye. The first thing was this idea that when Jesus died on the cross, I died right there with him. We often sing about the sacrifice of Jesus, and we are incredibly thankful for the forgiveness that we can have from God through Jesus. But we don't often think about how when he died, we died. Our old way of living, dead. Our addiction to sin, dead. Our inability to please God, dead. We died with him. That's what the text says. The second thing that grabbed my attention was the notion that Christ lives in me. In other words, my life doesn't really belong to me anymore. Now, honestly, that is a pretty confusing thing to think about because we live in a world that tells us, especially in our culture, that we are free to do what we want, think what we want, say what we want, live how we want, do what we want, but that line of thinking really does fly in the face of Galatians 2:20. We don't just live for us. You see, the truth is that when I cross that line from being an enemy of God to being friends with God, there is a transaction that takes place. And it's not all that different from going to the grocery store to buy a candy bar. Let me illustrate with a little improv skit. We did this up at Green Lake, and we're going to do it here as well. So we've got Brian coming up and Bob Coyne coming up, and they're going to help me out with this. Candy bars, candy bars.
Get
I have candy
bar.
For
Get
sale.
Candy bars.
Delicious chocolate candy bar for sale.
How delightful. I'm very hungry this morning. I haven't had any breakfast. I would love to buy a candy bar. How fortuitous.
Excuse me, sir. I have the best candy bar in the whole world right here.
Best candy bar in the world,
it
you
is.
Say.
I promise you it is the most delicious candy bar you will ever eat.
Okay. Well, how much does it cost?
Well, for a scrumdiddlyumptious candy bar like this, it is going to cost you
$20. $20?
Yes, but let me assure you it is worth every penny.
$20. That is a high price. But I am very hungry, so I guess I'll go ahead and purchase the bar.
Excellent. We do not give change. So, oh, clean 20. Perfect. Thank you very much. There you go, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been looking forward to this all morning. Yes, I haven't had anything to
eat
yet.
Wait, sir. Actually, can I see your package very quickly? I'm not sure. I need to make sure that the seal was not compromised. See, I have minions running around all the time, little boys and girls. I need to make sure that they are not that they're not ruin the package. It does not appear as though this looks like it is what you started. So, yes, the package has not been compromised.
Oh, good.
In fact, the candy bar is in there, and it is 100%
that's
real.
That's great.
Chocolate.
Thank you for opening it for me.
You're
I owe you a
yes.
debt of gratitude.
Yes. Tips accepted.
Oh, thank you. I'm very hungry. Looking
okay,
forward
well,
to
mind.
This.
Oh, you know what? Hold on, sir. If you would please kindly hand me back the candy bar, I need to make sure of one more thing. You see, although the wrapping was not compromised, as I can see here, I need to make sure that the spelling on each of the candy bars is
that's
correct.
Important. The
crunch.
Spelling matters.
C-R-U-N-C-H. Crunch. Yes. Now, it is important not only to make sure that the candy bar is fully intact and everything is spelled correctly, but would you mind if I made sure that it wasn't poisoned?
Well, quality does matter. That's important.
Yes, absolutely. So I will take it upon myself. Since you paid such a high price for
Thank
this
you.
Candy bar, I will take the first bite to make sure that it is not poisoned.
Thank you for
Here
that.
Here we go.
Yes. It's no good. It's no good.
No, quite the opposite. It's delicious.
Oh, good.
I cannot withhold my excitement for how delicious this candy bar. You are going to really enjoy this
candy bar. I can't wait.
Bar. There you go.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
I'm going to eat the other end, I think, is what I'm going to do here.
That is wise. Wait.
It smells so good.
Yes. Mm. Sir, hold. You see, what I am noticing is that as I chew on your candy bar, the chocolate really gets stuck in your teeth.
Oh, that's no good.
Did you bring floss with you, sir?
I did not.
Okay. Well, luckily I do. I have a solution. You see, all of these crunchy little bits, although they will get caught in your teeth, you can use your tongue like this to get each little crunch out of your teeth. So, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to demonstrate because I already
swallowed the rest. A demonstration would be helpful.
So I will demonstrate how to get the little crunchy pieces out of your teeth, okay? Well, so you start to chew, and as I said, I can feel them right now. All these crunchy little bits in my candy bar are getting stuck. But then, if you pay attention, no, don't look at the candy bar, sir.
Okay.
Right here. You really want to do something like that. And then, as you can see, all of the chocolate and all of the crunch has been cleaned from my teeth. Very good. Ah, yes. Okay, now you try.
Thank you. I'm very much looking forward to this all morning.
It smells delicious,
smells
doesn't
divine,
it?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Now, sir, one more thing. You see, on this package here, it shows that this is made with 100% real milk chocolate.
100%. Got it.
And I do feel as though I am tasting some imperfection.
Oh.
That cannot
That's
be true.
That's tragic.
It says 100%. So yes. What I'm going to need to do is I'm going to need to take the rest of your candy bar and take it to my lab and make sure that it is 100% real milk chocolate, and then I will bring it back to you as soon as I can get the test results.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. So if you would just take a couple steps over there, I will make sure that everything is okay.
Thank you. Oh, he's gone. Where could he have gone so quickly? Was it 100% or not?
I have come back from the lab. The results are great. Let me see. Yes. In fact, the test results came back. Yes, this is 100% delicious milk chocolate that I now need to go clean out of my teeth again. Oh. So,
thank you. It was a pleasure doing business with
you. Yes, absolutely. Oh,
thank
you for coming
so
into
much.
My store.
But I still am a little hungry. Surprisingly, for so much money, my appetite is not yet fulfilled.
Got candy bars here. Excellent candy bars.
Another vendor. How wonderful. What are you selling?
Oh, my good man. You look like a proper English bloke.
I am, indeed.
I have something extremely exquisite for you.
What do you have?
I have this wonderful crunch bar. 100% real.
They're not as filling as they look.
Oh, I assure you, this one is.
Well, how much are you asking for it?
Well, sir, this is really exquisite. It's really, it's
$20. $20? That is a high price. But I am very hungry, so here you go, my good man.
Very well, then. And your candy bars.
Here.
What?
Oh, don't you have to test it in the lab?
Oh, absolutely not.
Don't you have to sample it?
No, sir.
Don't you have to make sure that it's good quality?
No, sir. That is the best. You purchased it. It is yours.
It's mine. For my very own.
I want you to have it.
Oh, it's actually my own candy bar. I'm very thrilled. Thank you very much, good sir. The end. All right. So what did we just see here? What did we just watch? Well, what happened in the first scene was that Brian, characteristically, sold me a candy bar for a super high price. $20 is outrageous. If anybody ever asks you that for a candy bar, you should run the other direction. But then what happened? I mean, what did he do? He ate it. He took it. So I paid the price for the candy bar, but I really didn't get to enjoy it. Not one little bit. Not at all. I paid for it, but it wasn't really mine, was it? Well, in the second case, Bob sells me a candy bar, same high price, same outrageous price, but what happened there? I actually got to keep it. I got to keep it, and now I can eat it, I can use it whenever I want. It's mine. I own it. I bought it. I paid for it. So it really does belong to me now, doesn't it? It actually is my possession. Did you know that that skit is in the Bible? Not directly, but in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people who are calling themselves Christ followers. This is the church. These are people who say Jesus is our forgiver and leader. And they're basically saying things like this. Paul, my body is my body. Okay? Belongs to me, and I can use it however I want to. You can't tell me what to do, man. It's mine. Sound familiar? It should, because that's our culture today. And it's to these people in the church that Paul writes this. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So let's think about what he's saying there. You don't belong to yourself. Paul is telling the people who are saying that they are Christ followers, hey, listen, don't you get it? When you asked God to forgive your sins and become followers of Jesus, you made a deal. Yeah, it's true that God offered you forgiveness freely, absolutely freely, but it was only free to you. It wasn't free to him. Check the verse again. It says, God bought us with a high price. Okay, so what exactly was the high price? The high price was the brutal, unfair, unwarranted, undeserved, unkind, unbelievably cruel death of God's one and only perfect son, Jesus. He didn't deserve to die. We did. We fell short of God's perfect standard. I don't know about you, but I would call that a super high price. It cost God everything to buy you back and to buy me back. But here's the amazing thing that we learn about true love from God. He truly, truly does love us. He loved us so much that he gave up everything on the chance that you and I might take him up on his incredibly generous offer of friendship that came at such a high price. That is love. That is true love. As I thought more about this, I realized that maybe we need to take a step back and revisit a concept that's pretty familiar to many of you. At Southfield, we've been talking about the ABCs of becoming a Christ follower for a long time.
If you've grown up at Southfield and you've gone through Big Kids, and even if you've been in a journey group, many times from this platform, you've heard us talk about the ABCs of becoming a follower of Jesus. A is for, anybody help me? Admit, right, admit. We have to admit, if we're going to become followers of Jesus, we have to start with admitting that we've done wrong. We've done wrong things. We've got to own it. Okay, that's simple. We know that. We need to believe, B is for believe, that Jesus is God's son and that he died on the cross and his death took our punishment. Right? He took our place. He was our substitute. There are so many good reasons why we should believe that. The fact of the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's important. A, admit. B, believe. Then comes the tricky part, this little C, choose. We talk about choosing to make Jesus your forgiver, the forgiver of your sins, and the leader of your life. You see, the thing about the C is it is a little bit confusing and tricky. The C is, it's a firm decision that you make. I am making a choice to follow Jesus. And it's firm because it's not like one day you can go, okay, I am choosing to follow Jesus. I'm choosing to make him my forgiver because I want the forgiveness, but also the leader of my life. So today I'm following Jesus, but tomorrow is a bad day, so tomorrow, well, I'm following me. But the day after that, I'm actually feeling pretty good, so I'm going to follow Jesus again. Well, the day after that, I'm very stressed out at work. It's very difficult, so now I'm following me again. It doesn't work like that. Right? The Bible says that when you become a Christ follower, you are crossing over from death to life. There is a firm decision that comes there that carries with it the understanding that you are going to continue to make that choice going forward. The choice in choose happens in a moment. It does. It happens in a moment. You cross over from death to life. But it does take a lifetime of continuing to choose to follow in order to fulfill it. Now, I'm afraid that a lot of times we do to God what Brian did to me. We are all good with God doing the forgiving part. Please, by all means, absolutely. We need forgiveness. We need it. We know it. We want it. But just like Brian took the candy bar from me and ate it, we take our lives back into our own hands and we leave God holding nothing but the candy bar wrapper of our lives. We leave him standing there in the same way that I was standing there, holding the wrapper. Well, how do we do that? We could spend hours talking about it, making lists of the ways that we take control of our lives out of God's hands, back into our own. But I think very often we have a very clear sense of when we're doing something wrong, that God does not want us to do. If you want a list, feel free to consult Galatians 5, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6, 7 through 11. I'll give you those again, just so if you want to write them down. If you're a list person, fire lighter, need to have the list. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6, 7 through 11. There are other great lists as well, but I think when we're confronted by our own sin, we often try to suppress this sense that we have. We try to suppress it, but there is, deep buried inside of us, something called the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. We can deny it, rationalize it, ignore it, justify it, or even claim it's not there. Pretend it's not there at all. But it's there. It's there. We know that we don't meet God's standard of perfection. Adam and Eve may have eaten from the tree, but as their descendants, we do have a knowledge that we sin. So rather than giving you a list, let me give you one verse that's been on my mind a lot, probably because it was the key verse for our Quest camp this year. If you were at Quest, you probably remember this. It comes from Proverbs. It says, to have respect for the Lord is to hate evil. God hates pride and bragging. He hates evil ways and twisted words. And I think we need to ask ourselves, do I hate evil? I mean, do I hate it? In my own life, do I hate it? God does. We learn that in Proverbs. Do I hate evil in my own life enough that it causes me to run from it, or do I embrace it, leaving God with the empty candy bar wrapper sitting in his hands? Do I hate pride, or do I indulge in it? Do I make room for God in my life? Or do I put him on the back burner? Do I give God my best? Or do I give him my leftovers? Or maybe even, do I give him anything at all? My time, my attention? You see, all of these questions really boil down to pride. Because if I think I'm more than I really am, then I have the freedom in my mind to tell God, I got this. I got this. I'm going to go ahead and take the candy bar back. I have control here. I don't need your help. It doesn't work that way. Do I hate bragging or do I brag? Do I hate evil ways and twisted words, perverse words, or do I let those things sit in my head and come out my mouth? Is it okay to leave God holding the wrapper after he paid for the contents? I mean, is that right? God paid a super high price for you and for me, and I believe that as long as we belong to him as his children, it's not okay. It's not right. I mean, to take our lives back into our own hands and leave God holding the wrapper. I mean, is that really choosing Jesus? Is that really choosing him? Is that what the sea is all about? In all seriousness, many, many people who call themselves believers in Christ are okay with that. They're okay with just leaving God holding the wrapper. And I just think, nah, that shouldn't be. That's not cool. How is that okay? I mean, if I go to the store and I buy a gallon of milk and it's sour, I'm taking it back. I expect that merchant to stand behind their product. I want a refund. When God bought me at a high price, what he ought to get is the best version of me that can ever be. He should get all of me. I mean, after all, it's only fair. He paid for it. I mean, us. So here's the great news. God knows. God absolutely knows. We are a hot mess. He knows it. So as part of the deal, part of the transaction, he tells us that he will help us to transform into the best us's that we can be. Again, if you've been around Southfield long, you've probably heard Pastor Dennis talk about Romans 12, 1 to 2 before. Let me read it for you. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Two things from this verse. First, you want to worship God? Do the hokey pokey. Put your whole self in. Put your whole self in. It doesn't say offer part of your bodies. It says offer your body, your whole you, all of you, not just part of you, the whole you as a living sacrifice. It means when you wake up, actually think about God. When you make decisions, consult with God about it. When you interact with people, think about what God would want you to say and to do. Give him all of you. That is what worship is. That's giving God the candy bar and not just the wrapper, you know? Second, check out what God wants us to do. He wants us to be transformed. And the verse does not say, go and transform yourselves. Figure it out. Good luck. No. It says, be transformed. And the implication is that he is the one that will be doing the transforming. What our job is to get out of the way. Stop taking the candy bar back and let him do it. If we will commit ourselves to choose God daily, he will do the work on us to transform us. It's been said that change is doing something different, but transformation, it's becoming something different. We can change. I mean, we can find a habit and work on it for a while and you know, maybe solve it for a week or two, and then often we fall right back into it. But God's not after good intentions. He's not after our best try. He's after total transformation, a complete makeover of our lives, because this is where we become actually different people. We become the people that he designed us to be in the very, very beginning. The best us's that could ever be. God will transform us if we let him. but we got to give him the candy bar, not just the wrapper. So where do we go from here? Well, a few months ago, Pastor Dennis mentioned a verse from Lamentations as we made our way through the Old Testament that I like very much, and I want to leave you with it today because I find it very, very encouraging. If I could have the ushers go to the back of the room at this point, they're handing out to you each one of these. No shrieking. The verse in Lamentations says this. The faithful love of the Lord, you guys can go ahead and start handing those out, okay? The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning, each and every morning. God's mercy is fresh every day. God's mercy is a blank sheet of paper that you will write on each day, either for the good of it or for the bad of it. Some days we feel like we take that blank sheet of paper and we scribble all over it and we make a mess of it. We make bad decision after bad decision and our day feels a lot like this. And we get to the end of the day and it's like, wow, what a waste. God's mercy was fresh today and what did I do? I made a mess of it. Ah, it's the worst. Feels terrible. God's mercies are fresh every morning. Maybe you're coming off of a few days or weeks or months where you've left God holding the candy bar wrapper of your life. You feel torn down. Maybe you're feeling embarrassed about it or ashamed about it, feeling like maybe God is angry with you. Maybe he doesn't still love you because you messed up. You made a mess of the mercy that was fresh yesterday or the day before that or the day before that. Can I encourage you with one thing? That notion that God is angry with me and doesn't love me anymore? You know it's not true, right? It's not true. The enemy wants us to believe that, but it's not true. God still loves you. He really, really does. I assure you, I have felt that way many, many times in my life. Tomorrow, today, is a blank piece of paper. What you're going to do with it, well, that's up to you. Are you going to choose God all over again, like you did the first day that you offered or you accepted his offer of forgiveness? Or not? You know, our God is just looking for us to continue to choose him over and over again, day after day. Are you going to draw on your blank piece of paper a picture that your loving Heavenly Father will take and proudly display on his refrigerator? I bet you didn't know that God has a refrigerator. He does. He does. And he is literally dying to take the days of your life and redeem them and make the choices that you make into a beautiful work of art. He is dying to do that. But what you choose and what you decide to do with your paper is really up to you. You can take it, you can write on it for the good of it or the bad of it, but there's one other thing that you could do with it. You could leave it blank. You could leave it blank. And as I thought about it, I'm like, you know, this is what putting God on the back burner looks like. Oh, I'm busy at work. I've got so much homework to do. There are things in my life that I just need to do. It got tomorrow, the next day. And before you know it, you have a ream of paper that's blank. Ah, that doesn't feel very good either. Right? Each day, God's mercy is fresh. He wants us to put him first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants all of us. Not just part of us, but really the choice is ours. The choice is yours, what you're going to do with it. So you have this paper, and you are completely free to do with it what you will. You can bring it home. I have mine in a prominent place, so it reminds me, I have a choice today. I can choose to put God first. I can choose to make choices that are consistent with that, or I can leave it blank. Or I can mess it up and throw it away. I mean, the choice is yours, what you do with it. If it'll be a helpful object for you, by all means, take advantage and use it but it is yours to do with as you choose. I'm going to give one last word for the day. It comes from the book of 1 John, last verse that I'll mention here. Simply says this, loving God means keeping his commands. And his commands, they're not burdensome. Let's talk to him. Father, we are so thankful that you initiated a transaction that we could never have initiated on our own. We get to be the recipient of your forgiveness. We get to be the recipient of your grace. And you continue to give every day your mercies fresh and new. God, I pray that you would help us to respond in a way that shows you we're giving you all of us, not just part of us, not just some of us, but our whole selves. Pray that you would help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great morning.
When 10,000 arrows take flight, remind me that you are my armor. There's always a place I can hide when I am desperate for shelter. You're